We're live.
Live!
From the Twin Cities with the Bob Sansevier Show. Great guests, interviews, and over 30 years of sports insight.
I'm pretty good at my job.
Here's the host of the show, Bob Sansevier.
Fourth pick in the 2015 NBA draft goes to the New York Knicks.
Which means that the Los Angeles Lakers have moved into the top three. And then there were three. The Los Angeles Lakers, the Philadelphia 76ers, and the Minnesota Timberwolves.
The third pick in this year's draft goes to the Philadelphia 76ers. The second pick will be made by the Los Angeles Lakers. And that means that the number one pick in the 2015 NBA draft goes to the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Wow. I'll tell you what, it was a big day, big night, big day. Twins beat Pittsburgh. The NFLPA wants the NFL held to contempt. The PATs move back to the 15. Blackhawks win in three overtimes. Warriors hold off the Rockets. But the big story around here is what you just heard. The Timberwolves, for the third year in a row, will have the first overall pick. Now, they didn't have the first overall pick the last two. They traded with Cleveland to get those guys.
Found a way.
They found a way. And now, though, this is the first time they've ever gotten the first overall pick. And all of a sudden, Flip Saunders playing coy. The owner, Glenn Taylor, talking as if, well, we'll listen to offers. They're not going to listen to offers. They're using the first pick.
There's one offer that I would consider.
And what's that?
And that's just if number two wants to jump up to take Karl Anthony Towns.
Just if they're scared.
If they really want Jahlil Okafor but don't necessarily want to take him number one, you know the Lakers are going to take him. Try and get something extra and trade back to number two, but they're not going to trade any further down than that.
No, and also, but you know what? By that point, the Lakers should have a pretty good idea who's being taken, who they're going to take.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see them really making a move. I think they'll just stay right there. Now, one thing is interesting. I had seen that Towns may really want to go to L.A. Mm-hmm. to the point where he may not want to be cooperative with the Timberwolves. Just to sort of let them know, hey, I don't want to play for you. Now, what if Okafor did that, too? What if they both stonewalled the Wolves and won't meet with them, won't work out for them, if they both want to wind up going to the Lakers?
They shouldn't have a choice like that.
Okay, but look at this from how many picks can the Lakers have in the first round, or how many will they have? Didn't you go through a list that they have several that they could have?
No, that was the Sixers.
I thought the Lakers could move up at some point, too, that they had another pick in the first round.
No, if the Lakers dropped down to six, that became the Sixers pick.
The Sixers pick.
Oh,
I thought there was one where they
11th, they would have gotten that one.
Because I was wondering if Okafor will try to maneuver to have a Tyus Jones play so that wherever he goes, the team that takes him has a shot at Jones. I don't think that, 31st and 36th pick overall for the Timberwolves, I don't think they're going to be able to trade those to move up far enough to get Tyus Jones. Tyus Jones, though, is being considered a late teens, early 20s pick mm-hmm. in these mock drafts. To me, he's a steal of the draft if that's where he goes. I think wherever he goes, because he's not going to be a top 5 pick or a top 10 pick, he's going to wind up being a steal for somebody.
Well, that's what you would hope as a Minnesotan.
No, not just that, though. I mean, this is the thing. I touched on this yesterday. I don't understand how Jahlil Okafor's stock has dropped. Now, it's not plummeted, but it's dropped because of the Final Four and the last several games of the tournament. People didn't think he played as, you know, there were things that are suspect about his defense. But they don't look at the body of work. In the case of Tyus Jones, though, he soared, certainly in the championship game, but his stock hasn't soared. I don't think it's any different than where it would have been if he just had a good but not most outstanding player type of Final Four or championship game. One game, a couple of games have hurt Okafor, but a couple haven't helped Tyus Jones. And that to me is kind of weird that these guys are so scared of negativity.
Well, it's just certain things like you can be a good or a very great college basketball player, but your game necessarily doesn't translate well to the NBA.
All right, tell me why his game won't translate well to the NBA.
It's just his size and speed. Like, that's going to be a big strike against him. He's going to have to really work on trying to get quicker.
I don't think the speed's going to be an issue.
It will be because he's not going to be able to defend the faster, more physically gifted guards that he's going to have to cover when it comes to defense.
All right, now, 2 inches, I don't want to minimize what 2 inches is for a basketball player, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's 6'1", Tyus.
Yeah.
Okay, Curry is 6'3". They're mm-hmm. not that different in terms, and Tyus will certainly fill out. You know what I'm saying? It's not like he's not tiny.
Well, he's not tiny by any means, but you're seeing this this kind of transition to a more big physical guard throughout the NBA. It's not Stephen Curry. Yes, he's 6'3". He's kind of looks rail thin. But even the younger guards that are coming in that might play point guard, D'Angelo Russell, 6'5", so, Emmanuel Mudiay, 6'5".
So you're saying the game would have no place for a John Stockton today?
Well, that's not what I'm saying.
Also
John Stockton could D up with the best of them. Like, that was one of the major strengths of his game, and then his court vision was just undeniably great.
I don't think Tyus is going to have a problem playing defense in the NBA. We'll see. You know, but also, go through the years of the can't-miss guys who missed horribly.
Well, yeah, that's one of the NBA draft is one of the biggest toss-ups for something where you're getting such great talent at the top part of the draft, and only a couple of guys pan out.
Wasn't Derek Williams the number two overall?
Derek Williams was widely considered the second-best guy in the draft behind Kyrie Irving, and he hasn't turned out very well, not just for the Timberwolves.
Who was the number one overall pick 2 years ago?
Anthony Bennett.
Whatever happened to him?
That was a weak draft.
It was, but still, he was the first overall pick.
Yeah.
You know, there was excitement when they got him, and he hasn't done a thing, either with Cleveland or the Timberwolves.
And then you look at other picks that the Wolves have made. Wesley Johnson, where'd he go? He was a fourth overall selection.
Yeah, didn't work out.
Didn't pan out, and it just happens so frequently in the NBA. You just don't know exactly what you're getting when you bring them in.
Just go through the list of guys that have failed that they have drafted.
Mm-hmm.
It's a long, long list. And, you know, they wound up with Joe Smith, they wind up with. You know, they had him twice, and he was a first overall pick, and he never really amounted to much of anything.
He just had a solid NBA career. If you can stick in the NBA for 10 years, then you had a pretty decent career, at least in my mind.
Yeah, decent, but not, you know. He was by no means a world
not number one overall selection worthy.
No. And, you know, just a quick aside, do you think now we'll see Glenn Taylor going every year to the draft, to the lottery?
Maybe.
Even though they claim they don't want to be going to the lottery.
Who does?
What is that?
Okay. Sit there.
Now, Helmsy here, Hellboy, David Helmer, well, it's the same person. Here's shirt. What is that thing on the what is that?
It is a Raiders shirt, but
it has some kind of a goofy cartoon on it.
But it's a Star Wars Raiders shirt.
Oh, that's what it's from.
It's a Tusken Raider, not an Oakland Raider.
What the hell is a Tusken Raider?
It's a creature that hangs out in the sands of Tatooine. I don't know if we really want to get into this.
Well, I just didn't know because they're basically using the Raiders emblem.
Yeah.
And sticking your Tatooine guy in there. That's one of the little beasts that Mark Hamill had to beat off, or Luke Skywalker.
Yeah, they hang out in the dunes and go, run, run.
There's some sides of you that I think we better left. It's best to leave unopened.
Yeah, like I said, we probably shouldn't really get into this.
No, I mean, it could be interesting, but not today. There's too much is going on. And is that our guy? I think Shay was in touch with Shane earlier, our Timberwolves correspondent. He said he'd be checking in.
It probably is.
Well, let's
want to make sure because my thing
let's
is...
Let's find out. You know what? We live on the edge.
It's Shane.
Shane, how are you?
Good. How are you, Bob?
Good. Are you excited?
Oh, Bob, excitement is full right now. That's for sure.
All right. Now, Shane, who do you absolutely... Do you care if it's Towns or Okafor?
I do care. I would like Julio. He's ready now. He just won a national championship. I'm 24 years old. In my life, I have heard a lot of players we've drafted say, oh, he's a high potential guy. He could pan out to be a superstar. I think Towns is the real deal and will be the real deal, but I want someone who's ready now. I'm sick of waiting for the Wesley Johnsons, the Derek Williams, the Johnny Flynns, of all those high potential people that haven't panned out. The big thing of last night, Bob, is the fact that we just got the top two. Falling to number three or four could have been devastating for us. The fact that we got one of the top two is just monumental for us.
Well, I happen to think, because when we talked to Jerry Zagota about a month or so ago, and he made the comment, he thought Flip's comment has been, you look at the body of work, and if that's the case, you look at Okafor.
Correct. Yeah, and I mean, he's just that physical dominant center that you always expect. He's probably one of the last old school centers we'll actually see. He doesn't have the mid-range game that Towns has, and not necessarily the shot-blocking ability right now, but he's only 19. I mean, he's going to develop a lot. He can put the ball in the hoop. He's just so polished, and his footwork is something that, you know, he's already playing at a very high level on that footwork. So.
Well, the one thing I think that probably scares some teams is certainly you can get him in foul trouble.
That's true. That's very true. Again, 19, a lot. You can really teach that. You can teach that defensive presence. Just look at last night's game. I'm sure Andrew Boga got into early foul trouble, but he's sure one who has developed how to stay out of foul trouble throughout his career, because that was a major issue for him coming out, and he was the number one overall pick.
Well, and by the way, the game last night, the Warriors, they were down, 16 in the second quarter, come back and win over the Rockets. Steve Kerr did a hell of a job of coaching. He went small, and it made a huge difference. They wound up erasing the 16-point deficit and led going into halftime, and then they had to fight off another rally in the second half to take that game. That was a hell of a game, the Warriors against the Rockets.
Yeah, can I comment on one thing you said earlier, Bob?
Sure.
How it's kind of a coin flip on people, whether there's people that are supposed to be sure things that aren't in the NBA draft.
Yeah.
I would say most of the time when people say they're sure things, they are in the NBA draft, whether it's Kyrie Irving was the hands-down number one pick, and then, sure, Derek Williams was arguably the second-best player in that draft. The Wesley Johnson year, I can't even remember who the number one pick was, but I know they were a stud, and it was a hands-down number one pick. This year, I think we're looking at a top two and a crapshoot from three down.
So what you're saying is you believe both of these are slam-dunk great picks.
Yeah, I do. Both of them are playing. And then from three down, sure, you can hit and miss all you want. That's how the draft goes. But I think when they say sure things, most of the time with that top one pick, maybe two pick, they're pretty spot on that. The Anthony Bennett draft, there was nobody in that draft that was, ahead of his class by leaps and bounds. These two are substantially ahead of the rest of the field.
Well, okay, you said you'd like to see Okafor. Do you have any issues with Towns? I mean, is it a tough call on Okafor, or is it a hands-down call in your mind?
For me, it's a hands-down call. As a Timberwolves fan, I'm just happy to get one of them. Last night, it was huge once we realized that we didn't have the fourth pick, because it was either us, the Lakers, and the 76ers. And if you remember from recent history, the 76ers have drafted.
They've been loading up, yep.
Nerlens Noel and Embiid, so they did not need a center. So we knew we were going to get one of them.
Well, and they wind up getting which one they want. I do think it's going to be Okafor. And Helmsy here throughout the scenario, maybe with the Lakers, they want the first pick because they want to guarantee they get Towns.
Hey, I do not want to trade the pick. That is for sure. So don't even start.
But wait a minute. Now, wait. If you could trade, and I don't know if the scenario will come into play, but if you could trade the pick to L.A. for them to get Towns, you get Okafor, and you get something you could package to get Tyus Jones. So you have you keep Jones and Okafor together? That's not bad.
I would never not like the destiny in our hands. We get to make the choice. Let's make the choice and move on with it. Let's not get too cute with the sure thing.
Well, again, if
Tyus could very well be there in the second round for us, because keep in mind,
I don't think
we do have the first pick in the second round.
I don't think he'll be there. I mean, they could maybe, because again, our boy Helmsy here, Hellboy, packaging the 31st and 36th to move up. I don't know if you can get into the late teens with those or into the 20s, because again, once you get into the second round, these are players who generally don't make it.
Yeah, and let's keep in mind, point guard is not a need of ours. I think it is.
You don't think so? With Rubio getting, with his history of injuries, he's been healthy one season.
Point guards are a dime a dozen in the NBA, as far as I'm concerned right now.
Shane.
They are. You look at the league, and over half the point guards in the league are really good point guards. Sure, they're the top tier point guards, and I would say, I mean, Ricky's probably a top 10, top 15 point guard at best. It's not worth packaging assets to go out and draft a backup point guard when we just signed.
Okay,
Ricky
wait. You're packaging a 31 and a 36. Big deal. If you can get, can you move up to get a player who can wind up putting a lot of minutes in for you?
Nope, I would agree with that, but there's no team in the league that would take 31 and 36.
I'm with you on that one. That's the problem.
Yeah, if we could get gift-wrapped a late teens pick, then sure, I'm all about it, but I'm not giving up an arm and a leg just to bring home a hometown boy.
It's not because he's a hometown boy. It's because he's a winner. He took over that game. We'll do it. Talk about this another time. Took over the championship game. We got to run it. Shane, I love talking
to you.
Our Timberwolves correspondent. Take a quick break. When we get back, we got more basketball. Talk to Marcus Fuller from the Pioneer Press. He studied and covered these college players since many of them only came in a year or so ago. But we'll talk to Marcus about the draft and the lottery when we return. Bing, bing, bing. Marcus Fuller, and you play You Never Met a Girl. I know every guy
has a problem with all the music that you request. It's all about my lady and going to malt shops.
I never asked for it. This is fine, but Marcus, bring your feminine side out today. He's playing I Never Met a Girl.
The song is Get Ready, so we're getting ready for the NBA draft.
Yeah, okay.
But maybe the WNBA draft, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
That's long gone.
Let them have it. We're joined by Marcus Fuller from the Pioneer Press. You know what, Marcus? Every guest we have today, I'm going to start off with this question. Okafor or Towns? Towns or Okafor?
I think we already had this conversation.
We're having it again.
I'm a Towns guy.
You're a Towns. You're always going to Towns.
I'm a Towns guy all day, every day.
Okay, were you a Towns?
It'll never change on that, only because the Wolves need a defensive center. They've been struggling on defense for years now, and you've got one, you know, you've got the number one pick. There's no way anyone else can take this away from you unless you make the wrong choice and select Okafor. I'm not saying Okafor is going to be a bad NBA player. I think he's going to be a solid center, especially on the offensive end. But when you need defense, you draft defense, and it's pretty simple in my opinion.
All right, prior to the Final Four, did you feel the exact same way? Or did Okafor's play in the last few games put you where you are now?
No, I've always been a Towns guy. I've actually was a Towns guy before he got to Kentucky. His potential, if you look at him, the day before yesterday, I spent time just watching him in videos his sophomore year, junior, senior year of high school, and then at Kentucky. And the kid, every single season, he just matured physically. And it was just amazing at the development that he made from one year to the next. And when I looked at Okafor from his sophomore year until now, he looks like the same player. He worked on his conditioning a little bit, but he looks like the same player. And to me, a guy that's going to continue to improve and reach his potential, a guy that you can bank on, to me, is Towns over Okafor. Okafor, is what you see in college is what you're going to get. Towns, the upside is just it's through the ceiling, and you never know how good this center could really be.
Well, let me put it this way. I had lived for a while in Metuchen, which is where he played his high school basketball. Metuchen, New Jersey, okay. St. Joe's High School. So okay. I should be a Karl Anthony Towns guy, but there's something about Okafor I like. There's a charisma there in his game.
I can understand that. I mean, if you want a player that's going to give you, you know, 16 and 9 immediately, be an all-rookie player, maybe even rookie of the year candidate, that's Okafor. But to me, you know, the Wolves, I mean, they're not gonna contend for a championship next year. You know, they're still building for the future. And, you know, 3 or 4 years down the line, you're going to be looking back at Towns if you don't draft him and thinking, oh my gosh, we made a mistake here. We can't defend the rim. And we still need another inside presence to defend the rim. And I just think it'll be a mistake. But again, I think both centers will be maybe all-star caliber one day. And, you know, it's just kind of, it's really, you know, what you need. And the Wolves definitely need defense.
You know, it'd be interesting is when these kids start getting interviewed now, if any of them say, well, I'd love to play for the Lakers.
you know, it's funny that I think somebody on Twitter, actually it was Myron Metcalf from ESPN, was tweeting out, you know, the things about Minnesota that we want you to come to Minnesota. And obviously Mall of America, you know, Prince. You know, and I said, hey, what about the state fair? You know, and somebody tweeted spam. You know, I'm going to bring this up because I'm from Hawaii. The spam museum, you know, should be a reason why any NBA player would want to come to Hawaii. But definitely Minnesota. Minnesota is the birthplace of spam.
And that's a selling point.
I'm telling you right now, if Okafor comes to Minnesota, he's going to be eating a lot of spam. And that might be a problem.
Okay, now is spam a big deal in Hawaii?
Spam, we grew up on spam. I mean, that
really?
Was a staple. Every single day we ate it for breakfast and lunch, sometimes dinner. We had it for a snack.
Are you kidding me?
I just went back to Hawaii for vacation a couple weeks, and, you know, I'd probably eat spam half the time.
Do you eat it here?
Oh, yeah. My wife knows. She wants to get on my good side. She'll make spam for me.
Spam what? Like a spam casserole?
Spam anything. You spam with rice. Spam sushi. There's spam
really?
Burgers. I'm still waiting for spam on a stick at the fair. But
maybe like deep fried with chocolate on it.
There you go. Oh, no, well, no. Don't put that in.
Now, Marcus, don't they have any meat over there? They don't get beef or chicken?
Well, we've got it all, but Spam is just is something you grew up on. I mean, it's something that's easy to make, you know, when you're a kid. And then from then on, I mean, that's just what you want every day. You know, if you just go to Hawaii, you'll go to a gas station, and there's Spam right there at the counter.
You mean like in the where you just dish it out, or you're talking about the Kansas Spam?
There's a Spam with rice. It's called the Spam Musubi. It's right there on the counter when you get there in the gas station.
It's called the Spam what?
Spam Musubi.
Musubi.
I'm teaching you here, Bob.
Wow. Well, Marcus, the Spam, do they have the flip top cans, or you have to actually get the can opener for them?
No, they've got. I mean, they got
the flip top.
The same kind of flip top cans that we all have. But you know, again, you can buy Spam right there. It's already made for. It's already cooked with rice at the gas station. Easy snack, and you're on your way.
Well, I mean, grew up. You're what, 6'4", right?
Oh yeah, yeah.
So you grew up to be a healthy lad.
There you go.
You
know, Okafor to me, you know, what worries also to me about
besides
Okafor,
the Spam,
is the fact that you know, I think there is a chance that he might, you know, kind of go back to what he was struggling with in high school, is with conditioning. You know, this is a whole nother level of athlete in the NBA, and you know, he's going to have to keep up with the centers of today, which aren't true centers. You know, back in the day, these guys are more power forward. They're running the floor and they're athletic, and I mean, he's already got problems defensively, and for him to keep up with those guys, I think it might be a struggle.
So in your mind, is there no doubt that the bigger upside and the bigger potential is Karl-Anthony Towns or
exactly.
Okafor? Okay,
exactly.
So you think that
no doubt.
Okafor is pretty much where he's going to be?
Right, exactly.
Wow, you're really dogging the guy.
Too much from a 50% free throw shooter. I don't see him going from 50% to 70% in the NBA.
There's a few points in the game.
Hack of Oak is going to go on any team that drafts him, and it's tough to have him in down the stretch.
All right, now let's divert from this a minute and tell me. I've seen a lot of the mocks, and they've got Tyus Jones going late teens, early 20s. I've asked this question before. I want your take on it. How does Okafor's stock fall as much as it did from the Final Four, and Tyus is not sore based on what he did?
Well, I don't see how Okafor's stock's fallen too much. I mean, I think...
Well, it has fallen. I mean, he was a consensus number one for quite a while, other than maybe with you.
But I think it's actually playing a lot better down the stretch in the NCAA tournament and just proving to a lot of people what they already thought, that he had more upside, you know. And I think Okafor is what he is. Tyus, I mean, you know, I think with Tyus, it's always about his defense. You know, he's going to have issues in the NBA. And, of course, his athleticism... I think he was, you know, at the combine, he didn't measure out lengthwise to be too, you know, he's 6'5", I think his wingspan is, you know, and you know, his vertical wasn't that bad. I think it was in the 33 range, 32.
Who are you talking about?
I mean,
Tyus.
Tyus measured at 6'5". What are you talking about? A wingspan.
His wingspan is 6'5". Right. You know, I mean, there's guys out there.
That ain't bad.
6'2", it's not bad, but I mean, it's kind of average, you know, for his height. You know, a lot of guys out there, I mean, Kyrie Irving, I think his wingspan is about 6'9". You know, some of those guys, and he's a better athlete. So it just helps you on defense. And, you know, he's going to struggle in that area. But I think teams that just need a true point guard, need someone to run their team. You don't have to worry about him as far as leadership. And he's going to make plays for you. He might not be a great shooter, but he makes plays. I mean, he's not a great shooter, but he'll make a three when you need it. And I just think the team that drafts him is going to find out that the pluses definitely outweigh the minuses when it comes to Tyus Jones.
I think so, too. I think he's going to be one of the steals of the draft.
Not
the steal. I do. I think whoever, because he's not going to go early. And he's going to be a standout for whoever gets him. I think too many people are looking at his size and not looking at what he did in that championship game as something he could do. He could have done it at any point during the season, but he had Winslow and he had Okafor and they had a good team around him.
He did do it quite often.
He didn't have to take over every game. He did take over several of them when there were issues. And I think he's going to have that ability even in the NBA. And I think he'll stay healthy, unlike the Timberwolves point guard who has a history of not staying too healthy. Marcus, Love talking to you. Love the spam talk. We'll have to go out for some spam and rice sometime. No, wait a minute. I'll eat the rice. You can have the spam.
All right. Well, we got a show Saturday, One and Done.
Yes.
Back 9 to 11 on 105 The Ticket. I appreciate it, guys.
Well, wait a minute now. You're going to be, you and Hardwood Rob are going to be talking a lot NBA, NBA lottery, right?
We'll be talking NBA lottery, NBA playoffs. We got the Nike EYBL in town at you know, at Maple Grove High School, a lot of the top high school players, including Apple Valley's Gary Trent Jr., who's lighting it up here in the AAU season. It should be pretty exciting.
Now, what year is he? Is he a junior or senior?
He's a sophomore. He's going to be a
sophomore. That's all he is?
Yeah, he's only a sophomore. And right now he's got offers from Michigan State and Ohio State. Duke's been calling him a little bit lately. The next big thing coming out of Apple Valley.
Well, then the next big thing is Tyus's brother, Trey Jones. Right.
Yeah,
he's a freshman,
I think by the time he's a senior, he's going to be getting really good offers. But right now, it's all about Gary Trent for sure.
Well, you know what? I got a feeling Trey's going to wind up at Duke. He's been a Duke fan since he was much younger, since he was a little kid, be wearing that Duke paraphernalia.
Oh, that'd be a stab in the back for Minnesota. I think a double stab in the back. But of course, you know,
the pipeline is there.
If you're going to Duke and you're winning championships, you can't hate him forever.
No, then you shouldn't hate him at all. Well, Marcus, love talking to Marcus Fuller from the Pioneer Press. Catch him on Saturdays, 9 to 11, right?
Yep. Saturday, 9 to 11.
With Hardwood Rob. You do that one, Helmsy?
No.
You don't produce that one?
I don't have to do that one.
You don't have to do that one?
No.
All right. Just was wondering, because Helmsy here, Hellboy, David Helmer, does a lot of producing come Saturday, Sunday. Gives his weekends to people like you, Marcus, but not you. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Thanks again, Marcus. A little threesome. Take care. A little threesome when we return. I got a feeling we may actually have, maybe there'll be an NBA question in there or a Wolves question. I don't know. I haven't heard it. We'll see when we get back.
Three, oh, it's the magic number. Yeah, it is.
Yeah, baby.
It's the magic number. Somewhere in that ancient mystic trinity, you'll get three.
Speaking of three, three questions, three answers. You want to join in? 651-989-9105. And we still got tickets to give away, too, don't we?
That's something.
The Beer Fest down in Minneapolis, sponsored by City Pages. There you go. What does he say? Have a cold one.
Something like that. But then there's pouring sound effects.
And then
that's
Pharrell on the bench. Yeah, you don't want to do that.
No.
And also, we have the Mopar. It's a car series. It's like its 30 year of it. If you like cars, just give us a call. We'll give you some ticks. 651-989-9105. Join in with the threesome, too, if you'd like. Let's hear the first one. See if people want to touch it.
Yeah. Hi, Bob.
Hey.
I have a few questions for you.
Yeah.
I want you to answer them immediately. Number one, now that the Timberwolves have the number one pick, is there anybody that would tank a workout in hopes to slip into number two so they can play for the Lakers?
Yeah, everybody. Everyone they look at might want to tank to play for the Lakers. But look how much more money and opportunities there would be to play in L.A. And so many guys want to be the ones to help bring the Lakers back. Kevin Love still wants to do that. I wouldn't be surprised if Love gets on the phone with one of these guys.
Well, why wouldn't you want to come here and start something? Make a name for yourself.
Make a name for yourself in L.A. if you start something.
Ah, come on. It's way more important if they did it here.
It's already been established that it's Wiggins' team and Ricky's team. So you're almost like, I mean, but the thing about it, Towns or Okafor, you're the third piece, the third star that this team could have. And that's you get three stars on the team, and that's pretty good. And they're all pretty. I mean, Ricky's the oldest at, what, 24?
Something like that.
So, I mean, these guys would all grow together for the most part.
Which that seems to be the basis that a lot of championships have been built around in the last few years, three guys.
Well, yeah, I mean, and one of them, whether it's, see, the whole thing, I think Okafor, the one thing Marcus Fuller said is true. Guys that are 50% free throw shooters don't usually improve that much.
No.
I mean, we've seen that with Shaq and, you know, how bad he was. And a lot of big men have been terrible free throw shooters. They just didn't work at it.
Town shoots about 80.
That could be the difference in some games. That could be the thing that tips it for him.
Yeah.
But it's just something about Okafor that I like. Then again, Towns did play at a, you know, I lived in Metuchen when I worked for the AP. Nice little town. St. Joe's is where he went. People talk about recruiting. I doubt he lived in the area the whole time. those parochial schools have a way of getting players. So, now let's get number two. I already forgot what the first question was.
Number two, there are rumors that Ricky Rubio's entourage have been pushing for a trade for a while. Do you put much stock into this rumor?
Where does his entourage want to go? They want to go to the Lakers. They want to play in L.A.
They want to play anywhere. But why would you sign a contract extension here if you wanted to be traded?
Well, why would you do that, too, when they're building with a great young core?
Yeah.
It doesn't make a lot of sense. But I don't think guys want to stay here.
I don't know why. It's beautiful in December and January.
Oh, it's just
February.
Lovely. And those guys get to park in Target Center. They get to bring their rides into the in the belly of the arena. That's where they all park their rides when they're practicing too. Because I've been down there and they just they're lined up.
They're putting all those renovations into Target Center. Maybe they're gonna
give them their own park, better parking lot.
Put some apartments down there so they never have to go outside.
That'd be perfect.
Yeah.
Just get them right. You're right. Just go right there, and you just walk into the little skyway, maybe to your luxury apartment. You got the twins right next door there. You watch them in the spring wander over there from the apartment. Vikings will be close. You can just take the light rail to there, right? The Saints, yeah. The Saints and the Wild a little bit farther, but you get in the car. Somebody, you know what? You make so much money, you get a driver. He pulls underneath where your heated garage and takes you. You never have to get out. I don't understand why they would not want to stay here. You're right. It's a beautiful place. Yeah, nice and cold.
So since they put together so much and they're so close to being competitive once again in the Western Conference.
You believe that?
Why wouldn't you want to be a part of it? With the young talent that we do have here?
It's possible.
How couldn't I think that we're getting close to... I'm just saying getting close to being competitive.
Well, this pick could be the game-changing pick that they need.
The Spurs can't keep doing what they've been doing. So... Who replaces them? Maybe the Minnesota Timberwolves.
There you go. That could be what happens. I'm not going to argue with you. I like Okafor. You know what? You cannot blow this pick. Because either one is going to be a hell of a pick for you.
Yeah. Like I was mentioning earlier to somebody that either way, both these guys, I think, are going to at least be solid NBA pros.
Yes. Even if they're not stars, they're going to be solid players. You have to hope, though, that one doesn't have... injury issues.
Yeah.
Because that's derailed some pretty good careers.
That'll happen. Look at the year that Greg Oden went number one. Kevin Durant went number two.
Yeah.
Greg Oden, injuries. Nothing. Kevin Durant, well.
Super player.
He just got injured this past year. Yeah. But
he'd been terrific up until then.
No history of that before.
No. You know what? It's sickening, but you're right. Something's wrong. I think it's a sign of the apocalypse for you to be right so much in one day.
Yeah.
What else you got?
And finally, an article said that the biggest weakness for the Minnesota Vikings is at left guard. Would you agree that their biggest weakness is that position?
Well, not anymore. Didn't they make the big move? Moving Fusco over?
Well, they've been talking about making that move, but we don't know for a fact that that's actually going to happen until training.
It happens.
Yeah. Until we see him line up there with pads on and knock somebody
out. I think they're going to be better. And, people are making excuses for Matt Khalil. Maybe he didn't get enough help from Charles Johnson or Charlie Johnson, but he still had to be accountable. A lot of when the people went blowing by him with the outside rush, that was not Charlie Johnson's fault.
Wouldn't think
and
so.
We saw plenty of that.
Mm-hmm.
So he does need to take his. But based on what we're hearing, if he had, he had the arthroscopic knee surgery. If his knees are better and his mobility is better, there should not be an issue this year.
No, but do you really think that is the biggest weakness?
No, I think it's in his head.
Like safety, we don't know what's going to happen at middle linebacker.
Oh, what the biggest weakness is for the team?
Yeah, for the whole team.
It's an important position, but no, I'd say there's other places I'd be more concerned. I'd be concerned about wide receiver, too, because I don't think just bringing Wallace in changes things. I mean, Charles Johnson, the receiver, is a good receiver, but I'm not so sure about what the depth is there. Kadarius Patterson was a bust. He's going to have to step up. Jarius Wright.
Jarius and Adam Thielen.
Well, they're both plug-ins.
We're loaded with slot guys.
Nobody is going to. None of them are star players of the other guys. Wallace is inconsistent. He's got great speed, and that will help keep things honest. But the only guy you really can rely on is Johnson, because he showed last year anyway that he was a reliable receiver. Whether or not it is again this year. Cordero Patterson, if the biggest problem is like we've been talking about or we heard, if he's supposed to go 5 yards and break off, and he doesn't know, he can't count five steps. My God! Somebody get in his headset and start. You put a headset in there and say 1, 2, 3, break.
some light up shoes.
And don't say
count
break
the flashes. Maybe that's easier.
Don't break right or left. Break toward the cheerleader. You know, break to the other side.
Yeah, look at that.
Tell them exactly where to break. What a piece of work. Anyway, well, that's one we'll be talking about quite a bit. Your Vikings and where they wind up going. Going to take a quick break, talk to John Tower, coach over at St. Thomas, the basketball team there. Also a psychology professor. John, actually, he's got some thoughts, too. I'll ask him the same question. He knows basketball, and he knows how good some of these players are. So we'll talk to him about what the Wolves have facing them when we return. Your musical choices are getting better. I will give that to you. We're joined now by John Tower, coach at St. Thomas, the basketball team and a psychology professor there. John, how are you?
Doing great, Bob. Thank you.
Good. Now, I'm asking everyone the same thing. Towns, Okafor, Okafor, Towns.
I think I said 2 weeks ago when we talked Towns, and I'm not going to go back on my word. They both have a chance. It's a great problem to have first as a Timberwolves fan, right? We all need to rejoice in that. Towns to me is a better defender, a better free throw shooter, and I just, assuming that he checks out in terms of, you know, being a great team guy, I think he has a chance to be a star. I think Okafor does as well, but his lateral quickness and defensive performance in the NCAA was, I think it would be worrisome.
Now, John, you obviously, as a coach, you've seen players who are not great free throw shooters. That's one of the knocks on them, too. Can you make a better free throw shooter, or some guys just don't get better?
Yeah, I mean, certainly there are examples both ways, and like anything with a draft, it's an imperfect science, but it is risky when a guy doesn't shoot free throws at a real prolific rate, and when, you know, he's going to get to the free throw line a lot. And if ever there's been a better example than this NBA playoffs, when you look at Dwight Howard, you look at DeAndre Jordan and some of the other guys that, you know, basketball has been turned into just a hack fest because of it. I think that is defense are the two red flags. Everything else seems to check out.
Now, again, because you've been a coach for a number of years, tougher to get a guy to play defense or become a better offensive player?
Well, I think defense, if you don't move well laterally, that's going to always
be a problem.
The NBA is so heavy in pick and roll that they're going to put him in those situations. You know, and I thought the teams in the NCAA tournament did that as well. I mean, Duke, frankly, was better off against Wisconsin the last 10 minutes when he was out of the game because it allowed them to do different things defensively. So, you know, I think the thing about Towns is I think he has a chance to be really good on both ends. I think Okafor, you know, barring some injury or something unforeseen, I think he has a chance to be one of the best low post scorers that have come into the league in a long time. So, you know, let's be honest. We're talking about number one versus number two, and it's wrong to make either one of them sound like chopped liver.
Sure. Now, and you know, because you're a basketball fan, which of the two, for the personnel they have, the key personnel, the core personnel, which one suits and fits the Wolves better, do you think?
Well,
that's
a great question. I think the Wolves, their defensive liabilities the last two or three years have been just so glaring. Now, Towns is going to have to get stronger. He's not going to come in the NBA and dominate defensively even as a rookie. But when you project out a couple of years, and if you could have him and Wiggins, and then, you know, who knows between Levine and Shabazz Muhammad and Bennett and some of the other guys they have, and then if Rubio stays healthy, you could start to say, all right, this is a team that's going to be able to fly around on defense, get out and run in transition, and could be a lot of fun to watch. So I think Towns fits better with what they need.
Yeah, and that's, a lot of, believe me, you're in probably in the majority of people who like Towns. Marcus Fuller from the Pioneer Press, he loves Towns. And there's something to me about Okafor, though. There's a, I don't know, the lack of a better way of putting it, there's a charisma about him that I like.
I think he, I mean, certainly let's, for a freshman to do what he did, and he seems like just a really good young guy. They talk about, you know, in high school and in college, he seems like his demeanor is one which is going to probably be pretty solid and reliable, which in the NBA is critical. Again, you could do a lot worse than Jahlil Okafor. And, you know, the knocks on him, shoot, let's talk about the good things. He shot 51% on free throws. He shot 66% from the field, which is unbelievable.
That's not too shabby.
That's unbelievable. So for a freshman to score 17, 9 rebounds, 66% from the field, and lead his team to the national championship as a freshman, there aren't probably 5 guys in the history of college basketball that have done that.
Yeah, so, well, like we were saying, there's no, I don't think you could be, well, you made a horrible pick. Well, picking either guy, either no. one, you're, you know, you, and that's something else we were talking about, and you have followed the NBA draft. Do you see this as, some years, like with Anthony Bennett, there was not a great pick. Is it a two-player draft, or you think it goes deeper with D'Angelo Russell and anyone else?
Well, I think, you know, Russell, I think, has a chance to be one of those special players. The way he sees the floor and at his size, I mean, he has a chance to be outstanding. And then Moutier is the other one that is a complete unknown, and it sounds like he may not work out for teams a whole lot. So, I mean, there's another kid that, you know, when, I don't think anybody's going to take them in the first two. But I do look at this draft, and you look down the line, and some of the other guys from Kentucky, I think Frank Kaminsky, you know, I saw somewhere they had projected 17th or 18th, and I think he has a chance to be a really, really good pro. You know, and the local flavor, Tyus Jones, I mean, what'll be interesting is he's kind of projected late first round, which if he goes late first round, I think that could be ideal for him because he'd get with a really good team with veterans, and they're successful. He goes early second round, suddenly there's not the same guaranteed money, and now he's with a poorer team, which could, I mean, it's a really big difference between, not nearly as big a difference 20 to 21 as 30 to 31, because 30 to 31 just means instead of going to a veteran really good team, you went to probably a team that's not very good, and you aren't going to have the same supporting cast.
Hey, you go 31, you're going to the Wolves.
Well, there you go. Maybe they take him and Okafor.
That wouldn't be too shabby, quite frankly, because I think they need a backup point guard, and I'm not convinced LaVine is that backup at point guard. He's certainly very athletic and do a lot of things, but Tyus as a point guard, that's what he is. He's a leader.
It would generate a tremendous amount of interest, and he's won everywhere he's been. So there will be doubters, and he has to get in the right situation. But I just think he has an ability to see the floor. I don't think. You know, there are 5 guys in the world who pass the ball better than him right now.
What do you do now? The rap on him is his size and defense. And I mean, you've seen him play in high school quite a bit, and you've certainly watched him play in college. Is he a defensive liability potentially in the NBA? I don't see it.
Well, I'll tell you what. Here's the thing. He's risen to every challenge, and even in high school, he played on the national circuit where he was going against the best guys. He's not a stellar defender yet. But I do think he got better as the year went on. I thought early in the year, Duke really had to hide him a lot. And, you know, his challenge in the NBA is at his size, he's going to have to guard other point guards. You know, sometimes you've got a big point guard who's 6'6 and 195, and you might be able to put him on the shooting guard and put your best perimeter defender on the point guard. He's going to be guarding, if he's in the game, Russell Westbrook, Chris Paul, Tony Parker. I mean, those are absolutely unequivocally going to be his matchups. And so that'll be his challenge. And now let's be honest, most kids don't come in at 19 years of age and they're not defensive stoppers. So that's some of what you learn along the way. And I'm rooting for him. He's a local kid who's done tremendous things, and I think he'll be a good pro.
Yeah, I do too. I think he could wind up being a steal of the draft. Now, John, you've got your book is coming out in about a week and a half. Is that right?
Yeah, June 1st, it's scheduled to be out, and, you know, youth sports, we're in the heart of baseball season now, so I seem to be at Little League baseball fields every night, and it's the time of year where, you know, we all love our kids to do well, but there are also valuable lessons to be learned through failure, and that's a lot of what the book's about is how as parents we can keep things in perspective, because at the end of the day, all we're trying to do is it's not about us, it's about teaching our kids the lifelong lessons that sports are intended to do.
And when it comes out, we'll certainly, is there a place they can pre-order?
No pre-ordering, but we'll make sure to get them, and we can get them a website once it is available.
Great.
It should be available next week.
And the camp's starting in a couple of weeks also, right?
Yeah, June 8th. So I just gave my final exam this morning, and I'm grading papers feverishly right before we talked, and then we quickly turn around to basketball camps for the summer.
Wait a minute. Isn't that what the grad assistants are for?
I don't have enough of those over here.
All right. Well, John, thanks a lot. John Tower, the coach at the St. Thomas men's basketball team and a psychology professor there. Thanks a lot, John.
Thank you, Bob. Great to talk.
We go from one John to another. John Pessa will join us. John's the author of The Game Inside the Secret World of Major League Baseball's Power Brokers. And he has some great vignettes in his book about Minnesota and how, well, we'll let him explain it, but how the Yankees, if George Steinbrenner got his way, would have sent Andy Pettit and Bernie Williams to the Twins for a second baseman who later got the yips. We'll talk to John Pessa when we return.